Well, I've got an interesting message this morning. I trust you will find it so, but more than that, I pray that you'll find it life-changing. Matthew chapter 8, let's turn there. If you're visiting, it's great to have you with us. We love to have visitors, and we know that you came today to hear and receive from the Lord. We believe God's got something special for everyone, and that would include you. I want to speak about the greatest power in the world. And it's an amazing claim to even say that we're going to speak about the greatest power in the world. But we know who that is. And I just want to bring you some understanding, some revelation and education on who is the greatest power in the world and why we can say that that power is present here. And this is the story about Jesus coming down from the mountain after teaching the crowds. And verse 2 of chapter 8, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Jesus didn't take too much fuss over healing, just a few short words. "I am willing, be clean." Sometimes the long prayers equals unbelief. Just a short, "I am willing, be clean." Bosh, it's over. Healed. Brilliant. Don't you think healing ministry is quick? When Jesus does it, it is. And immediately he was cured of his leprosy. So that was an immediate healing. At times, there are times when healing is a recovery. But this was an immediate, instant healing that Jesus performed. And Jesus... I'm just going to finish there. As I was reading this week, I read it with kind of new eyes. And that's how we need to see Jesus, always. To see him with new eyes. That he's actually as exciting. Every moment you read the gospel, he is so exciting. He's so amazing. This Jesus is amazing. The real Jesus is amazing. And as I was reading this, I had kind of like what I would call a higher thought, what the Bible calls higher thinking. And God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than yours." So, in other words, they're elevated way above what you think and what I think. And I realized I'd just come into a higher thought. And in this process of really meditating and praying over this particular miracle of Jesus, I saw that the church of Jesus, the body of Christ, is to be the same as Jesus in this world. And I saw, if you like, I replaced Jesus with church. Okay? So a leper came to a member of the church, the member of the body of Christ, and said, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And I'll unpack this if you have a problem with it, because Jesus said, "Go and heal the sick." Okay, so I'll unpack it. But Jesus, church, because we're the body of Christ. Okay, body of Jesus, members of his body. "If you're willing, you can make me clean, church." The church reached out their hands to the world, to everybody that needs a miracle, and said, "We are willing. Be clean, be healed." And I just saw, wow, church is amazing. Amen. Believers are amazing, yeah, with higher thinking. Elevated thinking. Changing the way you think. Because if we don't change the way of thinking, then we don't actually capture what Jesus has done for us. And I'm going to unpack this a little bit through the teaching of God's word this morning. But this is what started me off thinking, do you know what? We are amazing. We know it's because of Jesus. But actually, we are amazing. What God has made us and done for us through Jesus is amazing. You, if you're a believer, can heal somebody with leprosy. Why do I say this? Is it my own thinking? Because if it was, I need to not be a preacher or a leader of God's church. If that's my own thinking, I need to step down. But I don't get my thinking from my thoughts. I get them from God's thoughts or God's word. And so it is written, Jesus said this in John 14, if I could have the scripture up. John 14 and verse 12, he who believes in me, Jesus said. Do we have any believers in Jesus here? So does that include believers in Jesus? So anyone who believes and puts their faith in Jesus, the works that I do, i.e. man with leprosy, okay, he possibly could. What does that word say? What does the scripture say? Will do also. Hang on a minute, there's even more from Jesus. And greater. Okay, greater works. And greater works he will do because I go to the Father. And Jesus actually has this incredible vision of every disciple in every age doing the same works as Jesus and even greater still. And so I want to try and get you into God's mind for you by changing your thoughts about you. That if you're a believer, you need to change your thinking. Because any other thinking is stinking thinking. It actually is wrong thinking. This is thinking according to truth is right thinking. This is biblical thought. This is the scriptures. And that's why I know that this is the truth, that we can actually say and put ourselves where Jesus was in that situation with the leper, and we can say, we're willing. Can you say you're willing to heal the sick? Can you say, I'm willing? Because you've got to be willing. If Jesus had said, nah, bit tired today, can't be bothered to heal the sick. He never said that. He healed all who came to him. And he said, I am willing. He's also able, but the amazing thing is he's willing to heal all who come to him. Because he did that, accomplished the healing of every man on the cross. He accomplished every miracle, every healing on the cross. That's what Jesus did. So how do I know that we can do what Jesus did? Because it is written in the Bible. But also I know that we can because of the presence and power of a person called the Holy Spirit. See, some Christians don't think right about Jesus. When Jesus died and rose again, the scriptures say he ascended and is seated at the right hand of the Father. So Jesus is currently in heaven at the right hand of God. Jesus isn't here. But he sent his Holy Spirit, who is also called the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus. And so Jesus, every time he answers a prayer, doesn't leave the throne and pop down and do a miracle. The next time he comes, he will come to judge the living and the dead. He will come in glory and power, and every knee will bow. That is why you must receive Jesus Christ as Lord and have your sins forgiven before he comes. Otherwise, it's not going to be good. But it's great if you've accepted him as Lord and Savior today, of your life today. And so when Jesus does a miracle, he does it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God. We've already heard a little bit about him in the prayer meeting. But Jesus never did a miracle in his own power. He was the Son of God. But he left his kind of, all his power and ability, and he emptied himself and became man. God became man and dwelt among us when Jesus came. And he never did one miracle until he was 30 years old. And when he was 30 years old, the thing that changed him from seemingly ordinary, although he was not ordinary because he was holy. And every man ever born is born a sinner. But Jesus was holy. So he was a holy man of God. He's the Son of God, but he's the Son of Man. But at 30, he was baptized in the Jordan, which is a total immersion in water that every follower of Jesus Christ is called to obey and to follow what Jesus did. And when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And what's important to hear is the word upon. The Holy Spirit came upon him. And from that moment on, there was a power on his life to serve God and serve people with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that was the transforming point from living a powerless but holy life into a power-filled life that transformed everybody who touched him, everybody who met him. And so that is why we would say that Jesus had the greatest power in the world. And that power was the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, it means that if we accept Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit, then we too can have the greatest power in the world. Praise the Lord. We are not into a powerless Christianity. Jesus died and rose again and sent the Holy Spirit so we would be powerful and do the same works as Jesus and greater still. Now, after Jesus had received the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit came upon him, turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the greatest power in the world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, having been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit came upon him. In verse 16, it says, he went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. Now, up to that point, Jesus had been an ordinary member of church. He'd been in the synagogue. Okay, that's the Jewish kind of gathering. And Jesus had grown up, seemingly Joseph's son, although he was never Joseph's son. He was always God's son. And he'd learned a trade, become a carpenter. It's what his human kind of father did. He loved the scriptures. We know that because he was always, always, always in the Word of God. And when he was a teenager, he loved the Word so much that he stayed in the temple and the parents went without him. Just shows you his hunger and his desire for his Father and his Word. And so Jesus was actually known, naturally speaking, as a really nice guy. In fact, probably one of those guys that were like, going to make you always feel less than, because he was perfect. He never had a scrap. He never lied. He lived in obedience to his parents. He lived an awesome, holy life. But to that point, nobody knew that he was different, really different, until the Holy Spirit came. And what Jesus did, he came into the synagogue that day, and I love it, the prophet Isaiah, because this is written in Isaiah 61, opened the scroll. Now we might push a button on our tablets or open your Bible and read the word. And Jesus stood. I love it just to think of Jesus, the Son of Man, standing, having been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He stood up and read these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What's favor? Grace, unearned, special privileges and advantages that come because of the Spirit of the Lord upon him. So you could say, Jesus did the leper a favor because the Spirit was upon him. Okay? So the reason Jesus did that miracle, or the power by which he did that miracle, was because of the Holy Spirit upon him. And to anoint, that word, we need to understand biblical words. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. What does anoint mean? Well, anoint means to smear with oil. If I could have the next slide, please. To anoint means to smear with oil. And oil is always symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine being smeared with oil? So we're talking about painted all over in the Holy Spirit, okay? And the Jews were looking for the Messiah. That was the name of who was to come, who was Jesus. And in the Hebrew, that's the word Messiah. In the Greek, the word Christ. And both of these words, Messiah and Christ, mean anointed one. Okay? The one who is smeared with oil. The one upon whom this Holy Spirit will come. Okay? And if you think about it, if anyone is in Christ, how are we in Christ? Through faith in Jesus. We're born again. We receive God's nature whenever we make Jesus Lord of our life. And we're made into new creations. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now we are in Christ. Which means we are in the Anointed One. And the Anointed One, or Christ, is in us. Oh, happy day. We're not in ourselves anymore. We're in Christ. And he lives in us. So we're in the Anointed One, and the Anointed One is in us. And we would say, as Jesus says, the truth of in John 14, the Holy Spirit lives within us. Whoever is born again has the Holy Spirit living within. You have become a temple of the Holy Spirit. Can I have the next slide, please? And, oh gosh, no, cancel. Don't read that yet. I thought I had another slide there, but I missed it out. But praise God, I'm anointed. Okay, so if you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit. That's the eternal life. The nature of God comes into your spirit. You're a new person. And his life in you is actually a person. And that person is God, the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 14, verse 17, Jesus actually says the Holy Spirit will be with you and in you. So if you're born again, you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit is within you. But there is another experience for all believers. I just want to say that again. There is another experience for all. Say all. The picture isn't complete just being saved or born again. That is not the complete picture that Jesus died for, rose again, and sent the Holy Spirit. He didn't send him just to live in us. He sent him to be upon us. Okay? And so, in Acts chapter 1, turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, if you don't have a Bible, I'll read it straight out of God's Word. Verse 8, Acts 1, verse 8. Now, Jesus is speaking to those who already believed in him. And actually, after he'd risen, he breathed on them and they said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you know your Bible, you'll know that he went, receive the Holy Spirit. And that's the ruach, the breath of God, the life of God. But obviously they needed something else. Oh, don't we need something else? We don't just need to be born again, which is awesome. But he said here, but you will receive power. Say, you will receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Oh, when? When do you receive the power? When the Holy Spirit, not when you believe in Jesus, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Obviously, Jesus wanted us to have exactly what he had when the Spirit came upon him. Oh, I'm so grateful. He doesn't have kind of a lesser Holy Spirit for you and me. There isn't a lesser Holy Spirit. If your child is baptized in the Holy Spirit, God's on them. Just because they're children, or it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, if the Holy Spirit is upon you, it means you've got what Jesus had. And he says, you will receive power. And that word, actually in the Greek, is dunamis. And it's where we get the word dino, or dynamite from. And that word means ability and might. You will receive power, ability and might when Holy Spirit God comes on you. You will receive. And anyone who asks and is willing to be a witness and is willing to heal the sick, hello. Jesus said, I am willing. The disciples were willing to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them and then go out and be a witness. Because willing equals going to do the ministry of Jesus in the world. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, if you can grasp these higher thoughts today about you, and don't let unbelief fight it. Some of you are fighting something that's saying, that's rubbish, it's not for me, I've never seen it work. Well, maybe you haven't been doing life wrong, right? Jesus is never wrong. If he says it, it's true. That's it. You've got to stake your life on the word of God. And everything that the word says, you're willing to put your whole life on. And say, well, if Jesus says it, even if I haven't seen the same works, he says it's true. And the more I believe it, the more I'll see it. The trouble is our believing and our thinking. But our believing, if we don't believe what Jesus says, then we can't do what Jesus did. And so faith comes from hearing the word this morning. And I believe faith is going to come to you this morning in a new dimension for the same works as Jesus. I'm not preaching this for interest or just to let's tick a box for a couple of hours on a Sunday morning and go home and all stay the same. I don't think that's God's vision for church. I think he wants to equip you to do the same works as Jesus this morning. We are here to continue the ministry of Jesus in the world. Just say that to somebody next to you. You are here to continue the ministry of Jesus in the world. Now just tell them wherever you go, you're here to bring Jesus to the world. God is not a man that he should lie. And if he said you can do the same works, he can. How many want to accept that word this morning? It's the word of God. I accept it. Even though I haven't seen it, I accept it to be true because Jesus said it. I'm not going to live in my disappointments. I'm not going to live in my failures. I'm going to live in the word, the truth. And Jesus said that will set me free to do the same works. See, the trouble is we need to become more like children. What do children do? Go, oh, great. The Holy Spirit's on me to heal. Fine. Fantastic. I don't want my friends sick anyway. That's brilliant. We need to, in some ways, chill out with the faith message. I don't mean get couch potato. Because that going to do the same works of Jesus, you will be busy till you go to glory. Healing the sick, raising the dead, binding up the brokenhearted, preaching the good news. You have works to do. But those works are not good works of baking cakes alone. I think they're good works too. I think I really believe in baking cakes. Not for me, thanks, I'm on a diet. But an encouraging with acts of kindness. But that wasn't what Jesus had in mind when he said the Spirit will come upon you. And it's not in his thinking that we eliminate ourselves from the real ministry that Jesus has called us to do. You're not eliminated, you're in. And we need to pursue these things in the right way. Because we need the same power for the same works. Don't we? If we're going to do the same works, we definitely need the same power. And also, you know, when Jesus stood up and read the book of Isaiah, he wasn't floating or shaking or falling down. And yet he was anointed. And they couldn't see with a visible eye, just because I'm shaking, I'm anointed. Ooh, God's here. God's here. I could just stand here and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. And you might not be able to see it, but we live by faith, not by sight. We don't live by senses. We don't live by feelings. Because if you're waiting to feel anointed, you'll never do anything with what you've got. Tell somebody next to you, where if you're waiting to feel it, you'll never do the works of Jesus. The same power is needed for the same works. And if you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and there are signs that follow the baptism of the Holy Spirit all the way through the book of Acts, the early church, and all the way through history, the sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, amongst other things, but they all begin to speak in tongues. And it's only a beginning. As soon as you're baptized, you can begin to speak in other tongues. Now that is simply you using your voice and God giving you the words. So you've got to cooperate with speaking in tongues. You use your voice and God will give you the words, which won't make sense to your head, but it will be a supernatural language that goes perfectly from your spirit to God. But if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you can stand and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, smeared me with oil. I'm anointed to heal the sick, to bind up the brokenhearted. Don't we need an anointing to heal broken hearts, church? We don't just need to hug them, we need to heal them. Don't be so soulish and do just what the world will do. We have an anointing to heal the sick. We've got words of life to speak that will cause a recovery of a broken heart. And what did Jesus do? He went around speaking words, didn't he? And he said, my words are spirit and they are life. It was like the river of God flowed through the words he spoke. If you can imagine, you start to speak for God in your workplace, You just speak out the truth of the gospel. There's a river of power coming out of you. Doing the same works as Jesus. Bringing the favor of God expressed in everything good for anybody who wants to come and receive. Now, obviously, there are some people. I was asked an interesting question last week. Somebody had been praying for somebody they love very much for a long time to be healed. And I said, well, do they want to be healed? And do they want to receive from Jesus? Because Jesus, ultimately, he is the healer. We pray in his name, but Jesus is the healer. And they said to me, no, this was just last week. I said, if you don't go to him, you won't be healed. Hello? Anybody? So don't get discouraged about those you don't want, even though you want them healed. Does that set anybody free today? Have you ever been praying for somebody and it was like, nah, they're not receiving? And Jesus said, if they don't receive you, they won't receive me. Isn't that a revelation? If they don't receive your prayers, they're not going to receive me through you. So don't be locked into why hasn't it happened when that person hasn't had a willingness in their hearts to bow and receive from Jesus. And don't ever let your disappointments stop you from continuing to do the same works as Jesus. I've had disappointments, and we have to navigate disappointment well. We have to take hold of situations where things didn't work because we're not actually perfect yet, but we're going from faith to faith, and we're going to keep going in the same ministry as Jesus. And we're going to leave what we don't understand and why it didn't happen to the Lord. Hello. And live free. That he's never the problem. It must be this side. And I don't understand everything this side. And I'm definitely not perfect this side. But I'm going from faith to faith to see more and more of the ministry of Jesus through my life. I challenge you, some of you young men, some of you younger guys and women, come on. Come on, rise up. In fact, I challenge you, old ones, come on, you ain't over yet. The same works as Jesus and greater still you will do. And if you're a new Christian, guess what? It's the same word for you. Isn't that amazing? Let's go for the things that Jesus died for us to have. And it's just in the everyday things of life. The people you meet, the brokenness that's around you. You've got an anointing to solve the issues. Right, let's finish with Acts chapter 3. And we're going to pray. This word is life-changing and nation-changing. I just had a vision there. I'm not just paddling my way into heaven. I'm going in the power of the Spirit to see the same works as Jesus. Now, that's the kind of church this is. You understand who we are? We're not paddling just trying to get to heaven. We are going, but on the way, we're going to do the ministry of Jesus because that's what will bring glory to Jesus. By this, my Father is glorified, Jesus said, that you bear much fruit. By this. Of course, the fruit of love. You won't see miracles if you don't walk in love. You'll grieve the Holy Spirit if there's not love in your heart for your brothers and sisters. Come on, guys. There's got to be an atmosphere of love constantly flowing from those of us who make mistakes, forgive. Has anybody here ever made a mistake? Does anybody ever need forgiving? Hallelujah. So let's forgive. Let's stay free and keep forgiving. In Acts chapter 3, we're reading here, after the Holy Spirit had come upon the disciples, 120 in the upper room, And Peter and John were disciples of Jesus, but this is after the upon moment. Okay, so they believed in Jesus for a few years, but this is after the Holy Spirit came upon them. And I put it to you that the Holy Spirit changed them. See, Peter was a very hot-headed man. But the Spirit came and he became absolutely usable by God. Before, he was fighting, coming in with his own way, coming up with an opinion here, there and everywhere. After the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus could do whatever he wanted with his life. And I believe he was changed. I believe John, he was a little bit of one of those sensitive, he might have even been a musician. You know? And that's not a negative thing, because actually I think there's a sensitivity that needs to go with the Holy Spirit in the ministry. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But John, I mean, John became the great apostle who gave us the book of Revelation, wrote the books of John. Incredible apostle of love. He was, his whole ministry came out of love, revelation of God's love. And I think he was the one that wanted to call down fire and destroy people at one point. Does anybody remember that? Jesus, let's burn them. And Jesus said, I haven't come to burn, I've come to save. So we're talking about, do you know what, guys that without the power of the Holy Spirit upon them are a little bit grating, difficult to work with. How many of you know it's difficult to work with people who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit? Come on. Hello. Anybody? And so they've been baptized in the Spirit and they're going up to the temple to pray in the afternoon. That's a miracle. Change life. Change priorities. They were God conscious. They wanted to do what, and obviously, if you're working during the day, you can't pop off, say to the boss, I'm off to a prayer meeting this afternoon, I'll see you later. You'll be sacked. So I'm not talking like that. I'm saying that in the right place, the right time, if there is a prayer meeting you can get to, if you're a spiritual man, you'll go. Or woman. Male or neither male nor female. So Peter and John, they're up, going up to the temple to pray. And verse 2, now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, silver or gold, I do not have, but I am anointed. Silver and gold, I do not have, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. It's interesting, when you heal the sick, you're issuing a command, not asking God to do something. Tell somebody next to you, I really needed to hear that. When we're healing the sick, in Jesus' name, walk. Not, oh God, please do something about this poor crippled guy. In the name of Jesus, walk. That's the healing ministry. That's the true understanding of healing the sick. They modeled, you see, their healing ministry on Jesus. And so shouldn't we? Okay? We're going to do the same works. We've got to model how Jesus healed the sick. And instantly, taking him up by the right hand. I love to think of this. Peter goes, in Jesus' name, rise up and walk. Bosh! I love that word. I don't know why I'm saying it. I've said it twice this morning. In fact, here's the third time. Bosh! He got up off his feet. And began to walk, healed, leaping, dancing, praising the Lord. And he went into the temple to praise God for this amazing miracle. Now, you see, we might have been tempted, and I've done this, and I'm anointed to do different. But I've walked past people and popped a few coins in. Because actually, you know, sometimes I'm just like not thinking, not God conscious. I'm not conscious of the Holy Spirit upon me. Even though he is upon me, I'm not conscious that he is. Because he doesn't leave just because I feel something different. Actually, I tune in as soon as I start to become God conscious. And the world actually is really good, and it's fantastic to give money. And Jesus gave money to the poor, but he didn't give money to the sick. He healed them. And so Jesus wasn't going around handing out cash everywhere. He was handing out the power of the Holy Spirit, healing. And I know I'm talking about direct miracles, and I think it's really important that the healing ministry is in total. I'm not against, in fact, all for the NHS. Hallelujah. I'm all for them. We need to bless them and continue to bless them and thank God for them and just continue to pray for them. They're doing an amazing work of helping people to health. But Jesus is the healer. And so, you know, we're talking about having an anointing as a believer in Jesus Christ to heal the sick. And so they literally call this man to walk. And they looked down and they saw, and this is what you see in defeated people. They haven't got the ability to look up. And he was looking down. Every day he was brought to that place, another day of defeat and begging. Now that is misery. Come on. There's nothing but misery in that. Just imagine that. Every day, begging and being carried somewhere because you haven't got the ability to walk. And this voice came that was different to every other voice they'd ever heard, because that's the voice of faith working through love, because it's a love voice. It's not like a shout, but it's got a command to it, because faith always has a command to it. It has something that needs to be responded to. And they said, look at us. They didn't say, look at Jesus. They didn't say, look at Jesus. They said, look at us. Why? Because we know we've received what Jesus had. And we believe it. We actually believe we have what Jesus had. And that means we can do what Jesus did. We've seen him do it. And we've got the same power to do the same work. Look at us. This defeated man looks up and he sees a fisherman. He doesn't see a rabbi or somebody who's kind of famous at that point. He sees somebody with a weather-beaten face. Just like in the community where you are, where you go, where you work, you look ordinary to everybody else. But if you are a believer and have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is nothing ordinary about you. And he acted. Peter said, what I have, I give you. He acted on what he had. Isn't this challenging? Because if you're here today and you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's a challenge to start to think, I'm going to give everybody what I've got. I'm going to start giving out. And that's quite a risky business, isn't it? Well, it's not, but it's a thing of faith. But we can feel the risky business thing coming in. This could get really risky because I might have a bit of egg on my face if this doesn't work. But I'd rather have egg on my face then live with anointing that will heal people and go to heaven without using it. The amount of times that we call people forward for healing here, I don't feel anything. There have been a couple of times when I've felt the strong power of God, that something has been expressed in my senses, and God can do that. But most of the time, I do it because I believe it. And believing is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. And I'm sure of an anointing that I haven't yet seen yet working in these particular circumstances. But I'm sure and certain. And this isn't bravado. It's if you have received, you can stand like Jesus did and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set captives free. This is the year of favor, and God's favor is going to flow through me. That anointing will flow, because it won't flow if we don't give. And if we go right back to the leper and Jesus, Jesus said, I'm willing. I'm willing to go out there and put my hands on you. I'm willing to get involved and say, God's going to do a miracle. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Walk. I'm willing to step out beyond the known into that wonderful water walk, out into the supernatural. Because people won't experience God if we don't use what we have. And so the question is, can you say to a defeated person, look at me? Somebody at work who's walking around depressed, their lives are broken, can you say to them, look at me? What? Oh, come on, church, let's do it. I'm encouraging you this morning. Don't just look at me like, can I? I'm not sure. Yes, you can. Say, yes, I can say that. It's a change of mindset. It's a positive thinking. I can say that. Look at me. Why? Because I've got, baby, what it takes. See, we have to live our lives on a different realm. And that doesn't mean we have to do anything to get there, because it's already happened. But we've got to change our consciousness and be Holy Spirit conscious, Holy Spirit filled. And the Bible says, go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, Bill Johnson puts it like this. I think it's brilliant. We leak. Jesus never did. So it's like a bucket. We leak. We kind of have our failures and our disappointments. Jesus never failed. And so we need to keep being filled if we leak. Yeah? But go on not leaking. Go on being filled. Just keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. And be conscious that you're anointed. There's a song we used to sing. Does anybody know it? Here we go. Well, the word says, I'm anointed, so I am. A few of you know it. Well, the word says, I'm anointed, so I am. I've got that burden moving, yoke-destroying power of God in my life. Well, the word says, I'm anointed, so I am. See, the power of the Holy Spirit has been lifting people all the way through history. And it's our time. This is our time. This is our history-making moment, opportunity. This is it. We're here to lift. Like that man, pick him up. If somebody's brokenhearted, get into their lives and speak the truth, the good news, that Jesus heals the brokenhearted. So today, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you haven't received this other experience apart from receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, in fact, if you haven't received Jesus, you need to know that he loved you so much he died for you. And that we can't put our faith in denominations. We can't put our faith in the kind of church we belong to. The only faith that we can put our true faith in and salvation is Jesus. Because he's the only one who saves us from our sins and makes us new people. So you can receive Jesus Christ today as your Savior, as your Lord. But if you have received Jesus and you haven't yet received the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, then today the Holy Spirit will come upon you if you're willing to yield to him and say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but baptize me so I have the same power the early church had to do the same works that Jesus did. And he will come upon you and you will speak in other tongues. You will drink poison and it won't hurt you. You will. If a snake bites you, it ain't gonna get you. Why? Because the anointing destroys every yoke. The Holy Spirit and the presence of God is powerful to bring about transformation of natural circumstances that look bad and turn around for good. Let's stand together.